Once again, a very good morning to one and all. Today we return to our series on 2 Timothy, and it will be from chapter 2, the middle of it, all the way to the first 9 verses. Kind of long, so I'm going to skip a few verses as I read. Still it's long, but I think it's good to read the Lord's Word, so allow me to read for us. Can I ask Zachary to help me to click as I read for the passage? Thank you. Verse 14. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does not no good, but only ruin hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, but avoid irrelevant babbles, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection had already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Verse 20. Now, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Chapter 3. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creeps into household and capture weak women, burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never ever to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so this man also opposes the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that for those two men. Let us pray. Father, we commit this time to you and we ask that you lead and guide the one who speak and the ones who hear. And may we all be touched afresh by your truth. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let me begin by asking this show of hands. How many of us like cars? Oh yes, I see hands. Okay, some of us, paisei, huh? Okay, cars provide us convenience. Yes, Sam? You don't like, you like train, right? I know. Alright, cars provide convenience for us commuters. You just imagine in Singapore, right? You often have to walk under the heat. It says it's 33, but actually it feels like 37 degrees, and it's wet heat, and it's so wet it melts away all the foundation that you try to put on your face. Singapore is such a place. So, you know, to have cars, that's nice. But car ownership is a problem in Singapore simply because Singapore is the most expensive place in the world to own a car. Right? It's said in the news. Now, so it can be problematic here. And in the eyes of the government, car ownership is certainly a problem because carbon emission from cars affect global warming, trade agreements, and so on. So the 33-year-old COE system is our government's solution to this long-drawn and thorny problem. Long-drawn and thorny problem in Singapore. Now, but in recent months and recent weeks, we see it seems that it's COE going up, but the number of cars seems to also go up, right? This long and thorny problem seems not quite solved as yet. When we turn to the Bible this morning, 2 Timothy, the big chunk of scripture that I read just now, is the big chunk was about false teachers and false teaching. Now, Paul had already addressed this topic, false teachers and false teaching, and he has addressed it in three other places already. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 4, and 6. Three tries over. Now, but much like car ownership in Singapore, false teachers and false teaching is also a long-drawn and thorny problem in the church of Ephesus. So, in this letter, likely to be the very last one before Paul faces his death, he is giving his one final shot in guiding Timothy and the church on handling the problem. Now, today's sharing, I entitled it 133. Now, not because, Tiong Bahru Road is soon going to have bus 133 here, and I'm definitely not sharing with us a CVV behind my credit card. Okay, these three numbers are not the secret code, so don't try. Now, why 133? It's because for this one long and thorny problem, Paul is supplying three images for readers to think about them, and more so, these three images provide three solutions or three sets of solutions on how to go around the problem. So, 133. Okay. Now, these images, as we can see on the screen, is the unashamed worker, clean vessel, and gentle servant. Or in singular, try to speak to each and everyone's heart. Yes, it's written to Timothy. Maybe that's why singular. But as we know, the pastoral letter is also written to all of us. So it's trying to speak to all our hearts. Let's go through these three images one at a time. The first image is given in verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the truth, says Paul. Now, the background towards urging Timothy to make himself an approved worker is given in verse 14. Now, people in the church back then were quarreling about words. A lot of debates on the Christian belief was going on at that time. The understanding of Christianity was getting fuzzier as the debates generated and multiplied. So much so that it became like a thick forest. What used to be understood now is like a dense forest that people got lost within. An approved worker, rightly handling the word of God, was much needed in such a situation. Why? Because the word right, translated here as rightly handling, it actually translates a Greek word that means to cut straight. The approved worker is someone that cuts straight. Is someone that cut a straight road through a dense and thick forest so that people can walk through them and reach and walk through them on a straight path so that they can reach their intended destination. And so in actual terms, this means that part of the job of teachers is to cut straight. So part of the job of teachers, and teachers here I'm referring to people among us who are Bible study leaders. Parents at home, leading family worship, you are teachers, alright? Part of our task is to clear whatever blockages that may be along the way so that God's words can reach and connect with the hearts and minds of your learners, your hearers. approved worker, cut straight. Let truth be told and be heard. Now, what might happen when there is no approved worker to cut out the straight path? People might take in errant belief and go about in life based on those beliefs, which was the case in the Ephesian church. A group in the church believed that general resurrection means all believers resurrected. So they believe that general resurrection has taken place. Now, how they come to such a belief? Well, today, if you want to think about a dead person coming alive, that can be very challenging a thing. We may be Christian for so long that we get numb to this, but it's really challenging to think that someone dead, hardened, cold, can come back alive and walk around. It is hard for us, friends, it's also hard for them. They have lived long enough to know that a cold and hardened body can hardly ever stand up and walk again. So, likely, Hymenaeus and Philetus suggested that there's no such thing as a body coming back alive. There's no bodily resurrection. It was not possible for they themselves, and not even possible for Jesus, they suggested, probably. Yes, there is resurrection, but resurrection refers to a spiritual experience where for the believers, the now is already the future. As in that, there is no longer condemnation. The future has come for believers, and God has issued to believers eternal forgiveness. And in that case, they are free. Totally free. They can do whatever they want. That was the resurrection that Hymenaeus and Philetus probably interpreted to be, or back then. Now friends, Paul says wrong belief spreads like gangrene. Gangrene, we know, is a disease that keeps progressing and eats away the healthy flesh. In the Ephesian church, gangrene refers to this believing that general resurrection had happened, and with that, the license to live however one wishes. That's the gangrene. Now, for you and I, Jubilee, and in Singapore, I don't think we will ever get to such an extreme. Yet, I want to say this morning, that beliefs inform lifestyle. Beliefs inform lifestyle. If we believe that God is forgiving, then chances are that we might be pretty lax with things. But if we believe that God is a disciplinarian, then I think we might be hard on ourselves and even harder on other people. Beliefs inform lifestyle. And so having beliefs that are sound and biblical becomes crucial. Therefore, Paul calls for approved worker who can cut a straight path to let God's word speak and to take effect in us. Now, what this means is that we teachers refers to cell group leaders, teachers refers to parents who are leading devotions at home, of course, teachers refers to pastors, and anyone who is sharing the faith. As teachers, we are to be diligent in clearing blockages and let the Bible speak. Now, to this involves learning and to communicate correctly or as correctly as possible what the Bible is saying. Learning. There are today, I'm sure, out there, and you and I know, a lot of books, a lot of good books, and more books are produced by the day. Yet you and I also know that there are fewer and fewer readers these days. Not a good sign, huh? Not a good sign, especially because the Christian faith is not one based on superstition, but based on understanding. It's one that calls us to cut the right path, cut a straight path, so that people may understand the Bible. And therefore, I'd like to suggest to add to our schedule this, if we don't already have it, is that add to our schedule learning about our faith. We can do it through books, audiobooks, trusted video sources, YouTube, the trusted ones, through Bible study discussion with friends, through workplace, lunchtime prayer. Now, whatever that suits you. The method is really not important. What is material here is that to heed Paul's call and to do our best to be approved workers. That's the first image. The second one, clean vessel. Now, we find in these verses. Washing of oneself and to be a clean vessel is the response Paul suggests encountering two groups of people. We have covered the first group, okay, which is the one that say that that generated empty talks and say that general resurrection has happened. And probably they misinterpreted what resurrection was. Okay, so that's the first group. The second group that a clean vessel is meant to counter are the ones described primarily in chapter 3, which I've skipped over certain verses because it's so long. Now, though these people, if you see the first verse, are described as people who will come in the last days, exploitation of women and was something that's already happened back then in their church, as you can see in the later verses. So, these people were there already, only that more are expected to show up in time. But the question is this. Why should Paul and Timothy avoid these two groups of people? Christians are supposed to be loving. Christian, we ourselves are unfaithful, right? That's the first song that we sing, the first line that we sang this morning. Why don't we give chance? Why don't they go to these people and try to lead them onto the right path? The reason probably is that these people had too much of a bad thing and could be beyond help. I quote Thomas Oden. He says this, that these people were too fond of money, too narcissistic, swollen with pride and self-importance, the lack of self-control, that gossip, that do not know how to love, that do not respect their parents, that have no vital piety or genuine religion. And why is it so important to keep distance? Because they are treacherous. They know how to exploit idealism. They will find an avenue to captivate naivete. If you are tempted by sensory pleasure and sexuality or your own unexamined passions, they will learn how to exploit. So, stay away. Now, the way to avoid these people, Paul says, is to wash oneself clean. Clean vessels is actually an image that Paul uses, or a metaphor that he used to crystallize what he has already written in verse 19. That is, let everyone who name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. How to depart? Clean oneself, be a clean vessel, got nothing to do with all those things. Now, to be sure, treacherous people are there in every era, and there are dangers lurking around us, even now. Yet, Paul says two things. First, do not fret, because, for one, God knows the ones who are His, and He protects those who are His, and He will grant strength and wisdom as when the need arises. Yet, the second thing is this, is that we as believers has our part to play. We are to stay away from the wicked. Now, when we stay away from the wicked, you and I know that it's something that is not always possible. Right? Our colleagues, our project mates, our church mates, our platoon mates, and maybe even our family members may be exploiters. There may be people that exploit others. At times, we are just not able to stay away from these people. What can we do? I think what we can do is to stay away from wickedness. We cannot always stay away from wicked people. What we can do is stay away from wickedness, as in not to think and not to have anything to do with things done to benefit oneself while exploiting and shortchanging others. Not to forget that we are also to stay away from teaching that confuses and distorts the gospel. And Paul says that when believers does this, he or she will be a clean vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Now, notice one thing. That when Paul says all this, he doesn't give the pride or place to gold and silver articles. To Paul, vessels, all vessels qualified for honorable use. And they include the clay pot for storing water, maybe, back then, and the wooden barrels, probably used as rubbish bins. To bring into today's context, and if Paul were to write today, he might use, as example, a mop or a door stopper. Right? All vessels qualified to be honorable vessels. And this goes to say that it's not so much how we see ourselves or how others see us. It is really not the income bracket, eloquence, looks, stature, or popularity that counts. And should we find ourselves much more like a doorstopper than the golden tray? Should we find ourselves not so much of someone that are so-called vessels of gold and silver? Paul said, don't try, if you pardon my lousy illustration, don't try gold plating or silver plating yourself. Because it's not what sort of vessel that matters. What truly matters is the purpose that we seek to fulfill. The thing that we aim to do. He said that is more important. Set the right purpose. Some of us might be inclined to think more of ourselves whenever it comes to God's service, and when we are invited to do certain things, you know, we might say, I cannot one lah, yeah? Some of us might have said that before. Anyone? Okay, I won't ask you to raise hand. This one will be paiseh. But friends, if you have ever done this or you're inclined to do this, then let me say that the most honorable and the most humble prophet in Old Testament probably is, someone want to shout out your name? In your understanding of the Bible, who is the most humble yet most honored prophet in the Bible? Moses, yes, my youth ministry leader, Tun Wan, correct one. Okay, Moses. But when God asked him to go and free his people, in his own language, he also said, I cannot one lah. But is this person who said that, that end up to be the most honorable and the most honorable prophet? So friends, the work to be done is after all God's work, and we are told to be clean vessels. We are simply told to be clean vessels, no matter how we see ourselves. We are told to be clean vessels, ready for God's work when need arises. Let me close this reflection on the second image again with Odin's word here, right? Okay. Let me read. He says, there will be no rebirth of Christianity in the modern world without a rebirth of ministry, and no rebirth of ministry without a purification, a cleansing, which we have not even begun to see. The positive focus is upon the development and nurture of good habituation, the remedy for the deficit of just and vice. This is the life that shares in God's own righteousness through faith and become embodied in acts of compassion. Cleansing. And I think it's especially relevant in our time where so many things get into us so readily. Cleansing. The third image. The third and final image comes from the end part of chapter 2. The image of a gentle servant patiently enduring evil. Now, this image, straight away when I say this, it sounds like it goes head on against what we have just said earlier. The instruction to stay away. Right? Just now it says stay away from wicked. Now it says endure, patiently enduring evil. What is Paul doing? Now, I think maybe we can again check against what Odin says to at least know why it still makes sense. Right? From what I quoted earlier, the people that we really should stay away, Odin says, are people who are too fond of money, too narcissistic and treacherous. Not just any self-seeking individuals in general. Humans are, if I may, often powered by our own selfish desire and unkindness in doing many of the things that we do. But not so many of us are treacherous and out to hurt, out to exploit. So the third image here goes to inject a balance to how you really should decide what to do with who, and also to tell us that we need to be discerning on our part. Now, when we know, we are quite sure that we are not in harm's way, Paul says what we are to do are to engage others with gentleness and patience. So question, when to run away? I think when we sense that things and relationships are really getting toxic, or that the other person is trying to make us accomplice. Otherwise, we know from personal experience that the gaining of spiritual sights and insight takes time. And growth also happens in time. And all this calls for patience. Now, when we teach and we care, we might have met indifferences. People who are indifferent, we might have met cold shoulders. This time I want us to raise hand. Teachers here, can I ask? Who amongst us, when we try to teach about biblical truth, we have met with indifference and cold shoulders? Anybody? Wow, see? Only one, say, Jubilee had this kind of people. Others, very protective. But the truth is this, we do meet with indifference and we meet with cold shoulders. And some of them, when you try to share with them God's truth, they will even argue with you ferociously. Now, what Paul is asking us to do in all these kind of encounters is never to take opposition and indifference more personally than necessary. Yes, they are not nice. We should respond to them accordingly. But not to take all this more personally than necessary. Our example, of course, would have come from Jesus. Right? Jesus' opponents, his friends, his disciples, even his family members had all contributed to his frustration when he tried to proclaim to them the kingdom of God. His usual response wasn't to walk away or, not the second, what point two suggests, but point three. His usual tact was to tell a parable. And then with a parable, something that is easy to picture, he helped them see a different angle. And then he gently helped to tune them and help them see God's perspective. That's what Jesus do, and that's something we can try creatively to lead. Now, I myself just want to share a bit of lao kui thing about myself here. Now, I once had this encounter in one of the churches that I served previously. I was the chairperson of a conference held in the church. At one point, after I've done my part, and I went down just now, right? I've done my part, so I went down, and then everything continues. Then the speaker came up, and then the speaker was speaking, and halfway through, one church elder came to me by the side and say, later when you go up on the stage, don't pray. Okay, maybe a bit louder. He says, later when you go up back on stage, don't pray. The elder telling the chairperson, I don't know how you will feel, friends, but when I heard that, I was really flabbergasted and angry. Why are you telling me not to pray? I think maybe the elder was more concerned about the total duration of the whole seminar, so that, you know, maybe cut a prayer can cut one, 2 minutes. Well, as I was writing this sermon, I was reflecting on how I reacted back then. How I reacted was pretty normal, you know. I just and I just let things pass. I didn't really try to use that opportunity to make him understand things what is more important. In other words, I didn't use that opportunity as a time for learning and growth for both himself and myself. I kind of let it pass. Flabbergasted and angry, everything inside. I didn't express it. Okay. But I missed the window of opportunity. And so my prayer for us is this, that you and I will seize opportunity for growth and for learning when they're open to us. And I'm sure there will be. Right, if some of us encounter indifference and cold shoulders when we teach, we will encounter those again. Now what is needed is that we are prepared to love God and others with gentleness and patience, to be the gentle servants for God. So all right, very quickly, three pictures, the three images and the solution or set of solution that Paul has suggested for us to adopt. Just allow me to add one more, a very, very quick one. Is that as we aim at righteousness, faith, love, and peace, don't go solo. Don't go solo. Whether we are in Jubilee just for a while or we are the Parsi Buizhao Jubilean, what Paul is suggesting for us to do is something to be done with, look at verse 22, those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. In other words, following the lead of this suggestion, images, is something that we do with brothers and sisters. So to follow up, Paul says, and to do it with brothers and sisters, these two are concomitant projects. Don't go solo. And so finally, if we don't already have people who can come alongside, don't already have people that you can launch such concomitant projects, then I think we begin by praying for some. Praying for people who have come alongside us. Not person. I say pray for people. Plural. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We come before you not with the kind of challenges that Timothy faced back then, but we do have our responsibility to fulfill. May we be a church worker, a leader in the church, a cell group leader, a worship singer, a parent, or we are siblings, or we are friends of our friends. We are people who are called to be able to communicate God's truth. Yes, we do in action, and we ask for strength to do in action, but also in words. And we ask for the willingness and the ability to learn to cut that straight path. We also ask as we cut the straight path, we can have clear minds, understand well, so that we can even know what does it mean to be a clean vessel. And then, Lord, we ask that you add unto us in our very everything react quickly well, reply messages quickly well, to learn patience so that we can be loving and gentle servant of yours. Help us do all this, Lord. And grant us, finally, people whom can come alongside us, that we can go alongside them. That this not be a building that we come to, but a faith community that we grow in and grow with. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.